You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast ahead of racing at Catterick, Bath and Lingfield in the afternoon. Leicester, Sandown and Nace on Wednesday evening. You'll hear every race live, of course, from 1:50pm with Gary Capewell, John Budden and James Millman in the studio. But it's Sam Norris here and joining me on Wednesday's edition of the podcast to look ahead to four contests as well as a spin through the racing news is the aforementioned Lord Budden. How are you today?
Well, I'm a bit of a frustrated man, actually, Sam. It's the weather which is getting me down. You know, this is a time of year when, you know, traditionally it should be good for favourites, good for punters, because the ground is good to firm or thereabouts. But now, all over the country, you just simply can't tell. I napped a horse, for example, at Cartmel yesterday called Dynamic Drive. Now, I knew that horse would not win if the ground turned soft. In the morning, I checked to Cartmel. It was good. Fine day. It was fine in Cumbria where I was too. What happened? Half an inch of rain from 12 to 4 and the ground has turned soft. I hope Maurice Barnes would take out Dynamic Drive, but he didn't. And of course he weakened in the last furlong or so because he couldn't quite go through the soft ground. It's extraordinary how local the rain is and how different the ground conditions can become quickly. Very frustrating.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was on trackside Saturday night and the fields at Haydock were just decimated by the weather. I mean, the fields are almost cut in half. And of course, you can't get your fast ground horses out, so it must be frustrating for the trainers too.
Very much so. And, you know, the difficulty is for punters getting up-to-date information about these kind of changes of ground. It happens so quickly. You know, it is a tricky situation altogether.
Yeah, can change almost throughout the meeting, if anything. As I mean, the going could be different the first race to the last. That's how quick the rain's been coming at the moment, John.
Yeah, absolutely right. And that's probably why Mecca's Angel, for example, got beaten in Ireland over the weekend, because the ground was good to begin with. And Michael Dodds actually walked the track and considered it was all right. But by the time that the race was run at 5:15, there had been a lot of sun and wind in that case, and the ground had come too quick for Mecca's Angel, and, you know, she just got beat by Stepper Point. Not disgrace, but again, probably Michael Dodds would have taken Mecca's Angel out had the ground been what it was at 5:15 when he walked the course earlier in the day.
Yeah, that's right. And not just for the horses as well, John. If the rain's coming, the punters aren't going to go to the racetrack, are they? People are going to be less inclined to go for a day at the racing if it's hammering down with rain.
Absolutely right. You know, we shouldn't sort of bang on about the weather, Sam, but
yeah,
it is a frustrating situation at a time when normally the sun is out and the ground is good.
Yeah, well, hopefully we have a nice day on Saturday for Ascot's meeting. The King George, the feature there. We won't dwell on it too long, John. I'm sure we'll talk about it on the podcast throughout the week, including a full preview of it on Saturday's podcast. Golden Horn remains the twos on favourite here. Snow Sky 6-1, Eagle Top 7-1, Flintshire 10s, Postponed 10s, Telescope 12s, 20s bar those. Is there any opposing Golden Horn, John?
Well, hopefully no is the answer to that briefly, Sam. It looks to be an absolutely tremendous colt, and I think Connections have done extremely well in racing him so frequently. Let's just hope it's not one too many. I don't think it should be. He had a very good run at Sandown last time out, brilliantly handled, I thought, by Frankie Dettori on that occasion. Interesting race, though, because Snow Sky is no slouch and ran tremendously well in the Hardwick Stakes. Pat Smullen in great shape. And then was Eagle Top, who, you know, was a little bit unlucky, got involved with Adam Kirby in a battle for position. And it's really going to be a fascinating return. But I hope Golden Hall does win, shows his class, goes on perhaps to the Judmont at York, and then we shall see whether the Ark is on the agenda as well before it has a happy retirement to stud.
Yeah.
Fairly early, but nevertheless, I think he's got to go to stud at the end of the year. I don't think that is a hasty decision.
No, I mean, it's where the money is, isn't it? It'll be great for us as viewers to see him racing at four. But if you owned him, that's the optimum route, I guess, to take him to stud.
Yes, I mean, to say, assuming that everything goes well at Ascot on Saturday, perhaps at York, and if the ground was reasonable even at Longchamp for the Arc, you know, he would be at the peak. He could only come down, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, one can understand why the Oppenheimer and Gosden connection decide that, sadly, Golden Horn will have to be retired to stud.
Yeah, the Arc shaping, it could potentially be an absolutely belting race, the Arc, John. If we have all the current protagonists that are in the betting for it, if they all go there, Golden Horn, we've mentioned Trave, New Bay, Jack Hobbs, it could be an absolute cracker.
Oh, yeah. Tremendous race. Really tremendous race. It always is, Sam. It's a marvellous sort of end to the season. But the ground is the key factor. Mm. And there will be one or two absentees, notably Golden Horn, if the ground, as it quite often can be in France, it becomes soft.
Yeah. OK, a little bit closer to the time then. Obviously, next week also marks the start of the glorious Goodwood meeting. Any particular things you're looking forward to, John? I think we're all looking forward to seeing the battle between Solo and Glen Eagles in the Sussex.
Yeah, that's going to be a tremendous contest, isn't it? A real head-to-head. I hope Glen Eagles, comes out on top. Interesting, though, Sam, the fact that Ryan Moore will be on the sidelines.
Mm.
I think he's been a factor... a tremendous factor in Glen Eagles' success. Obviously, they're very good jockeys who are waiting in the sidelines to take his place. But just at the back of my mind, there is that slight question, Ryan Moore not present at Goodwood. Very sad, of course, and very unlucky for him.
Who'll get the leg up, John, instead?
I don't know at this crucial moment, Sam. It'll be very interesting to see who's chosen to go. And... I do think Solo was very impressive when I saw him last. So that's going to be a tremendous battle. As far as the other sort of events at Goodwood, I think two names spring always high on the list at the Glorious Goodwood Festival. First of all, trainer Mark Johnston. I know for a fact that he's got a really big crew going down to Goodwood. He's in great shape, and his Goodwood strike rate is enormous. So, follow Mark Johnston, he won't go far wrong. And the other thing is, of course, Richard Hughes. His final sort of few days as a jockey, one cannot but help think that Richard Hannon and those who book Richard Hughes will have some very good rides. And Richard, over the years, has been magnificent at Goodwood, and it would be great to see him go out as a jockey, possibly as top jockey at the meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It'll be a really good send-off for Richard Hughes in a meeting that he's dominated so much over the last few years. Good news as well elsewhere, John, just before we get stuck into some of Wednesday's action. Conor Beasley looks pretty confident to return to the saddle next year.
Yes, well, let's hope he does. He's a very good young jockey, Conor, and of course, not to say he's one of the few, but there aren't all that many jockeys who are British-born and bred, and Conor is desperate for all at Wolverhampton, and obviously very seriously injured, but the news is fairly upbeat, and let's hope he makes a quick recovery and rehabilitation and will be back again, as he hopes, next year. It's been a pretty thin time for flat race jockeys, injuries and so on over the past couple of months, and Conor being out is a serious worry, but he's young, so hopefully he will recover. And people are looking after him, I think. The Inter Jockeys Fund, obviously. And
they did tremendous work, to be fair, don't they?
It's marvellous work. And, that's why Jack Berry and the Moulton, the house that Jack Berry built, is such a tremendous do. And I'm on the battle wagon too for a knighthood for Sir Jack.
Yes. Fair enough. But yeah, best of luck to Connor when he hope he returns to the plate next year. We'll take a look then ahead to Wednesday's racing. We've got three contests from Sandown and one from Leicester. We'll start with this Leicester race, John. A handicap here. This is their 7.55, a handicap over a mile and three furlongs. It's a Class 4 event with nine of them down to contest it. Who's on your shortlist?
Well, a tricky old race, this, you know, Sam. But not a particularly high-quality one. I think Royal Maskell, you know, has got a chance, a very consistent sort, but I'm not actually convinced that his last win was of a very high standard. Others who are notes, Lucky Henry, for example, ran very well at Kempton last time out on the all-weather in quite a competitive race that was won by Justice Bell. And the form of that is perfectly sound, but Lucky Henry, you know, has got perhaps to improve a bit. Then we have a number of others in with a chance, Flying Power being one of them. John Norton trains this, a whole selection of seconds behind the name. Last time out, second to Soul Searcher at Wolverhampton. Then St. Thomas, an old friend of mine, has always been a Beverley specialist, but hasn't really been running all that well for John Mackey this season. I think he's got to improve. So by process of elimination, Sam, we get down to English Summer. I do think English Summer's got a very fair chance here. Richard Farhey down at Leicester and Sammy Joe Bell in the saddle claiming three. Two good runs, or in the context of this race, a sixth to Mark Johnson's Litterine at Chester last time out, and also a good run behind Be Perfect at Chester last time out. Not a great race. Jockey in form, trainer in brilliant form. English Summer well handicapped to win.
Okay, English Summer then getting the vote for John for the Farhey team in that Leicester contest. We'll go back in time, if you like, to the race before that from Sandown, the 7.45. This one is a 7 furlong handicap. It's a Class 3 with five of them down to contest it. And I guess the obvious starting point is this lightly raced Dr. Bong, who won last time out, John.
Yes, I think Dr. Bong will actually be my selection for this race, Sam. It's a smallish field, and really only about three of them, in my view, have got serious winning chances. Andrew Balding and David Probert, excellent team at the moment. I think David Probert riding really well. Refreshing to see him and Sean Levy on the morning line last Saturday. And rather amusingly, both of them very well dressed. Obviously, their trainers had said, get your suit and ties on, gentlemen.
Someone's had a word with them there.
Yeah, and they compared to one or two of the other on the morning line team, they were amazingly well dressed, very well spoken. David Probert riding really well. Andrew Balding's horse is in good shape. Dr. Bong, a good winner at Chester last time out from Neutron Bomb, and not disgraced to Chepstow behind Cape K when second on debut, has to have a great chance. The other two that I think are in here with a squeak are Big Chill, Patrick Channing's a shrewd trainer, places his horses really well. Had a good winner at Newbury, I think it was, over the weekend with Jim Crowley on the saddle. And Big Chill was a perfectly sound second to Hard to Handle at Windsor last time out. And with a stable inner touch of form, I think Big Chill will run quite well. And Chevalier, trained by a gentleman who I can never get right, Carl Burke. Now, Carl Burke, when he sends his horses down south, particularly to the Sandown, has got a very good strike rate. And Chevalier's got Jordan Vaughan in the saddle, claiming five, useful young apprentice, a good winner at Leicester last time out from Orlando Rogue. So by no means a shoe-in for Dr. Bong, but Dr. Bong is the choice.
OK, then Dr. Bong in that 7.45 at Sandown for John. We'll move to their next contest then at 8.15. This one, a handicap over a mile and six. Class 4 event, and eight of them at the time recording set to take their chance, John.
Yes, again, a very tricky level weighted handicap, if you can use that expression, Sam. It will be nice to see Clive Britton winning this, in fact, with Cape Castle. Clive has obviously not had a great season, but he remains one of our real sort of old traditional figures. And this horse of his has actually won three times in a row, twice on the all-weather, then dead-heated with Martin Todhunter's Cloud Monkey at Doncaster Lancaster last time out, obviously in great form, and it would be nice to see another win for Clive Britton at Sandown, where he's had a lot of success in the past. What to beat? Well, I thought Satellite was the one who was most likely to cause a possible upset. Trained by William Haggas, his team in absolutely tremendous form. Pat Cosgrave in the saddle, also riding really well. Likely race this season. Top weight, but as grandmother would say, number one in the handicap is the best horse in the race. Gradually coming to form, I thought ran pretty well at Chester in that race won by Mark Johnson's good horse, Lidarine. A finished fifth there. Could be on the upgrade. Possibly Alan King has got a bit of a chance with Mystery Drama, but I'm not certain the Chelmsford form is all that good. And Laughing Jack, too, I think has got to improve. So the obvious horse is Clive Britton's Cape Castle, but I think Satellite has got a fair chance. I'll go for him.
OK, then Satellite for John, the top weight in that 8.15 handicap at Sandown. Their final race on Wednesday comes up at 8.50. This one is a handicap sprint over the extended 5 furlong trip. It's a class four with 10 of them lining up for it. Who's caught the eye here?
Now, draw, Sam. What do you think about the draw at Sandown? Is it absolutely crucial now to have...
I wouldn't know too much about the draw bias at Sandown.
No, I mean, generally, you need to be drawn against the inside rail, or you have been over the past sort of as long as I can remember. But I'm not absolutely certain that's been the case this year. There's been quite a lot of jostling to get position on the inside rail, which hasn't helped. I say that because, obviously, Eleusis has got a big chance in this race, but he's drawn 9, which means that he's going to be coming up the stand side, not the place to normally. However, ran pretty well last time out for Chris Wall. Team in form, second at Wetherby to win for Power. Has got to improve a bit, but might. MacDillan is a horse that interests me here. Stuart Kitto trains, a course and distance winner, drawn 3, and Richard Hughes has been booked to ride, which I think is significant. Ran well last time out at Sandown, 5th to Royal Brave, only beaten 2.5 lengths. Ought to improve MacDillan. I'm not that keen on Brazen Spirits, who's been tipped up by a number of people. Clive Cox, obviously in form. Adam Kirby, very difficult to beat. But I'm not convinced that the win at Bath over Eurocracker was really top grade. The one who does interest me, but is drawn 7, is Shackle N. Drawn. Now, this horse is trained by Ollie Stevens, who, of course, doesn't train all that far from Sandown, down in South. He's got Neil Callan in the saddle. Interesting booking. Neil Callan, of course, been riding abroad all over the place in the past couple of seasons, but a really top-class jockey, and I like the form. Second to Bathsheba last time out at Doncaster. Now, I was on Bathsheba. It was a very competitive race, and Bathsheba was just beginning to weaken inside the final furlong, and I thought that Shackled End Drawn was running really on strongly in a pretty competitive contest. So I'm just going to give Shackled End Drawn the choice in what's going to be a very exciting climax to Sandown.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, it looks a belt of that last race. Just remind us, please, then, John, of your 4 selections for Wednesday's action.
Well, 7.55 at Leicester, the one we're taking from Leicester. English Summer for Sammy Joe Bell and Richard Fahey will be the choice. 7.45 at Sandown, we go for David Probert on Dr. Bong. The 8.15, I'd like to see a Cape Castle win again for Clive Britton, but I've gone for the top weight, William Haggas' Satellite, and in the 8.50, Neil Callan on Shackled N. Drawn.
OK, lovely stuff. There we are then. John Budden's thoughts ahead of Wednesday's action. And you can join John in the William Hill Racing Radio studio with Gary Capewell and James Millman alongside him from 1.50pm for all of the action on Wednesday. It's Catterick, Bath and Lingfield in the afternoon, Leicester, Sandown and an Irish card at Nace in the evening. Thank you very much for that, John, and good luck this elections.
Thank you, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.